Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
What's up, everybody? Happy Monday. Junkies with you on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. If you're looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. We thank you for tuning in this Monday morning, September 16th. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Johnny Cake Sawville.
Hello!
And Jason Bishop.
Hello, John Paul Flame.
EB's here, although he went on a coffee hunt, I believe.
Okay, very good.
So we expect him back
here shortly.
He's not
despondent over the Redskins being in a 0-2 hole to start the season.
Well, maybe. It was expected.
Yeah, and it is a misery Monday driven by Priority Toyota Springfield, where you can have it all, including priorities for life, the most comprehensive lifetime vehicle coverage in the business. Shop PriorityToyotaSpringfield.com. If the Redskins could just play 20-minute games, they'd be okay.
Yeah, 15.
Yeah, they could play 20 one quarter to 25-minute games, they would be okay. Unfortunately, they play 60 minutes in the NFL, and in the first two games, the opposing offenses figure out the Redskins' defense, and then they don't get stopped. You saw that in the Eagles game where they scored on four of their last five drives, and yesterday the Cowboys' fourth drive started on their three-yard line. So you're feeling good. The Redskins' defense was shutting down the Cowboys. They forced a turnover, led to points. You grab an early lead. They go 97 yards and score on the Devin Smith touchdown. He's slightly faster than Josh Norman.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not in the business of defending Josh Norman, but he had zero safety help. I mean, he did streak by Josh Norman.
Yeah.
But Nicholson bit on the play fake, and then he's just exposed out on an island. He's not going to win that foot race.
So that's the fourth drive. Seven plays, 97 yards. The fifth drive for the Cowboys, 11 plays, 83 yards. That ends with the touchdown to Jason Witten. People say that he's using a walker to get in the end zone. He's gotten the end zone twice already.
It seems like he always scores against the Skins.
So that goes 11 plays, 83 yards. Then their next drive, which goes 9 plays, 75 yards. That seems pedestrian. That ends in the touchdown pass to Amari Cooper. The next drive, they did score, taken away because they had penalties. They settled for a field goal, and then their next drive after that, 10 plays, 54 yards. That ends in the Zeke touchdown.
There was another.
The defense is pathetic.
There's another instance where Josh Norman was completely turned around and lost, and the only reason he didn't get roasted by Michael Gallup is because, for whatever reason, Dak just threw a ball off target.
Yeah.
Like, if that ball's on target, that's another one on Norman's resume.
Well, it wasn't all bad because I booked a teaser for both Bickle and Allville.
This is true.
$5 teaser, and they needed the backdoor cover.
I get sized.
That last touchdown to McLaurin got
60
you.
60-minute game.
That 60-minute game, and you hit the
thank you.
Skins plus 11 over 37. So here you go.
Very nice. Thank you.
Look at this. Look at this. I know it's painful as a bookie, but thank you.
Look at this prompt Monday payment, man. This is nice.
Hey, exactly.
What am I going to do with this, Abe Lincoln?
I pay on time, my
friend. You certainly do, my friend.
But like you said, over 60 minutes, talent's going to win out.
Yeah.
And I think we talked about this Friday. This is the way I felt that the Cowboys offensive line would control the game. And they got off to a little slow start. But over the last three quarters, they controlled the Skins' defensive line. Didn't help that Allen was out, but not sure that would have made a difference. Certainly didn't help that the Skins were down a couple of DBs, and you had Cromartie out there hobbling around.
Right.
But I'm not sure that would have helped either. The better team won.
It's very frustrating, but I don't think anybody in the country had him winning the first two games.
No. Yeah.
So pretty much expected. If you do get Allen back, you do get Dunbar back. I actually have them 7-9, even losing to Chicago this week. But the way Chicago's played the first couple weeks, I certainly think this one's up for grabs if they could tighten up a little bit defensively. Again, I'm a little bit – they can't get a running game going, which is unbelievable. It doesn't matter if AP's there, guys, whatever.
Doesn't matter.
And what's interesting about that is they're having more issues on the left side or on the right side of the line than they are on the left side.
Yeah. Well, Sheriff had two holding calls.
Oh, the holding calls are ridiculous. Yeah. Happens all the time. But Penn and Flowers seem to be holding up pretty well. I saw Rouye get blown up a couple times, and the right side's having their own issues.
Lawrence did beat Moses once, and he got to Case.
Yeah,
for the most part, you're right. The right side was bad.
I think the passing game is going to be able to make some plays. If they can find a way to cobble together a little running game, I still think we're going to win some of these games. These first two games, I don't think anybody had them winning. So I'm not too frustrated, except that the defense just can't get off the field.
It's the way that you're seeing it, though. And they gave up 474 yards and 436 yards in two games. They've given up so many yards in two games. This was a team, at least they were trying to sell us, that was going to run the football, and it was going to be, we're going to run it through Geis. Obviously, that has changed because of the injury. They're going to run the football and play great defense. Yeah. They haven't been able to do either. They have 75 yards rushing in two games, and through two games, they've given up over 900 yards. They've given up 64% on third downs. So it was a disaster on third downs again. They can't get to the quarterback. I looked at just quarterback hits. How many times have they just touched the quarterback? In two games, they've touched the quarterback six times.
Yeah, well, yeah, you know me. Him. I watch 90 every play. I watch Sweat every single play. Him. And he had a couple
did
tackles.
Did he get a half sack?
Well,
did they give
that
him a half
on
sack
Kerrigan?
When Kerrigan, or did they give Kerrigan the full sack?
He didn't deserve it.
I don't know if Sweat got credited.
I know he just jumped on
he
the pile.
He just jumped on top of Kerrigan. He didn't deserve it.
I know.
Kerrigan just done
hey, but at least he was in the ballpark.
That was a pain sack. I know it ends up going to Kerrigan.
Yeah, but at least Kerrigan was there to close it out.
Pain's causing it.
Yeah.
Look, I don't know. So far, Sweat, he's only a rookie. It's only two games. Hopefully through these next 14, you know, he has 86 sacks. But so far, the early returns are not great.
It all goes hand
sackless
in hand.
Still.
So they have no pass rush.
Give him credit for that.
Yeah. With two sacks in two games.
Right.
Six. A measly six times that they've just touched the quarterback. That means the secondary has to do their job, and they're getting torched. Josh Norman's just not fast enough to keep up with guys, and they have breakdowns. It was supposed to change with Ray Horton. There was a lot of hype. Ray Horton's here. He's going to clean up the secondary communication issues. Landon Collins is not a coverage guy, so the bottom line is they're giving up big plays, and then they don't get off the field.
They can't,
18 for 28.
Yeah, they can't stop the run.
They can't get off the field.
When Dak threw that interception, that gift to us,
yeah,
it was like third and one or whatever the hell it was, and they were passing. Like, why are they passing? They're getting 7 yards a carry on the ground. I didn't even understand why they did that.
They did. They killed him on the
ground.
And
they just gave us the
ball.
Because
they're just getting anything they want. Yeah. They just felt, Kellen Moore just felt like, well, I can just do whatever I want against this defense. Yeah. So
but
I'll just get greedy.
That was pretty much it.
Yeah.
But,
so.
And JP, I mean, the secondary wasn't very good, but they're down a couple guys. They got Cromartie out there hobbling around. Everett's out there. He shouldn't be playing. I mean, they weren't at full strength in the secondary. Not saying that would have made a difference, but also you mentioned they can't get to the quarterback. Dak Prescott sat back there for 18 seconds and can pick and choose who he wanted to go to. You know, the secondary wasn't getting helped out by the front seven, so it was just one of those days when Dak had four incompletions.
Look, it might change.
Four.
I know. And he's coming off a perfect quarterback rating in week one. He's had an amazing start to the season.
51 of 62 through two games.
And maybe you
buy.
Good.
I mean, that's stupid. Yeah.
Maybe you buy a little of what Jay Gruden is
even against
selling.
Bad teams.
Jay, after the game, in one of the questions, was asked, you know, about the defensive staff. And here's what he said. Why don't we play that clip? It's clip number two.
Valdez
about
not
whether
there. He's
they should change things with the defensive staff. Okay, if Valdez isn't there. Behind me, he kind of alluded to we're playing two of the better offensive lines and offenses, and maybe you buy that, but
that is true.
This was supposed to be one of the better defenses.
Playing, they are playing two superior teams. And
right.
Anybody that watches the game for 5 minutes realizes that both the Eagles and Cowboys are light years ahead of the Redskins right now. It's just the
team,
current state of affairs.
Even through two games, it's obviously very early in the season, but they've given up 910 yards. It's third worst in the league. The only two defenses who've allowed more. Dolphins, Cardinals.
Yeah, the warning signs are not great. It looks bad, but again, I'm going back to my original point. No one had him winning these first two
sure,
games.
But it's that how is, it's how they transpired.
It's bad. It's bad.
Like but if you had flashes from the defense,
but you're not
let's
playing.
Let's say they lost those two games, and you saw your boy Sweat with a couple of sacks, and you saw the defense look like they could potentially be a top 10. How many people called into the show and said the Redskins were going to have a top 10
defense? They're all delusional.
Well, we all did.
That's just
I think all of us thought it was possible. But it's not going to happen. So that's fine. They're not going to have a top 10 defense. Get over it. It's going to be 25th or worse.
The Bears, I don't know how they win yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a
they should have lost.
Trubisky made a big play in the end.
Okay, they did get hosed. Denver got hosed. But there's no way you should allow that team to get down to the 35 or 30
I also think
left.
They got the gift. Gave them the second back.
Oh, they definitely got hooked
that was
with that.
Totally
yeah. That's what I'm saying.
I mean, that
yeah.
was a joke.
All right, so
the penalty was stupid.
Bad officiating. Penalty was bad. So, but still, Bears have not looked great offensively.
No.
Monday night game.
They've looked subpar offensively.
Skins have been horrible on prime time, especially at home.
Yeah,
I
but
get
I think
it.
This is a I think it's a toss-up game.
But the Bears' defense is going to cause problems.
Okay. Absolutely.
All right. Okay, but they're not going to march up and down on us.
But the Bears' offense isn't the Eagles or Dallas.
You wouldn't think.
So now, maybe I give them about a 25%. I don't give them a toss-up.
Oh,
I give
really?
Them a 25% chance.
I give them about a 40.
I give them about a 15%.
Then you go to New York.
Oh, wow.
And I don't know why Daniel Jones isn't starting already.
Well, it's dumb.
But you go to New York, winnable, because the Giants are terrible. Then you get the Patriots loser, and then you get the Dolphins. Now, if you lose to the Dolphins, you should be fired.
Then everybody needs to be fired.
Everyone needs to be fired.
They're so putrid. They're setting lines at 19 and 20, and it's still not even close enough.
Well, I have them at that point 2-4. So I think some way, I think they're going to beat the Giants. I think they have a shot at beating the Bears, and I think they're going to beat the Dolphins. So they actually could be.
If they lose to the Dolphins, I'm telling you, you got a clean house.
Well, the real concern is
they could be 3-3.
Here's the big concern. If the Bears, with that Stone Age-looking offense at this point, or it's just not Stone Age, that's incorrect. Nagy is a ahead of the curve type of guy. It's just not working correctly through two games. If they come in on Monday night,
that'll be our big red flag.
And that offense,
that'll be
looks
a big
like,
roll, and they roll 400
like
yards.
They're firing on all cylinders. Trubisky looks silly, throws for 300 yards.
Well, then you got to make moves. Minuski's got to go, or someone's got to go.
Yeah, that's going to be the real red flag if that.
But
happens.
I don't think they're going to do that.
I don't think they will. Either.
Don't have their best output of the year,
probably.
But I think offensively we're okay, even despite a poor running game.
But eventually, Case is going to case. I'm telling
maybe.
You, nobody would have predicted he'd have five touchdowns, no picks at this point.
I think he's just playing well, and Jay's utilizing him in a smart way. And, you know, he's going to throw interceptions.
He's been fortunate a couple times.
I think he's going to throw interceptions, but he's playing pretty well.
I think that the Chicago Bears game could end up being a disastrous game. I just think he's due theory. In case
it could happen.
A fumble and a couple of picks in this game. Khalil Mack going to make a couple of defensive MVP type plays because that's the player that he is.
Yeah,
I mean, that team shut down the Packers, held them to 10 points in week one in a 10-7 game. And the Packers, look, they haven't exploded offensively, but they put up 21 against a really tough Vikings defense yesterday. By the way, Kirk Cousins stinks.
He's terrible.
I don't care about him. The Bears are scoring.
But Eric, he is terrible.
Yeah, that's great.
Did you see the pick he threw in the red zone?
I only heard about it.
On first down.
They were down five.
Yeah.
First down.
They could take the lead on that drive.
First down.
Unbelievable.
He could have thrown the ball away. Said he threw it a double coverage and gave the ball
Eric
right back.
Eric is surprisingly glass half full today.
No, but it's because I knew they were going to lose the first two.
Yeah, but I
actually don't have as much regard for the Bears as you did. I knew they were going to take a step back this year.
No.
It was 100%.
Hey.
I should have bet my life on it.
I bet under 9.5 wins. But their defense is still really good.
That's fine. They're averaging 9.5 points a game.
Yeah.
Salty.
Yeah, I mean, they should be 0-2.
It should have been an L for them.
They should be 0-2.
They're averaging 9.5 points per game.
That's why I said.
And we'll score more than 10. So, you know.
But the problem is.
They'll score more than they normally do.
The Bears are going to score more than 9.
Yeah, I think we'll score at least 17 against them. I mean, Khalil Mack's great. Whatever. You just got to get rid of the ball quick.
Eddie Jackson's a stud.
We have playmakers.
They got guys. Anyway. But they should beat the Giants, and they should beat the Dolphins.
By the way, looking forward
to give you two wins there. Although Barkley could run for 200.
Yeah, that could happen. 2-4. He'll get to 7.
You might want to recap. I know that you looked at the Niners preseason. They're the Niners.
That one.
You might want to recalibrate on that because it's two games. They look pretty good through two games.
Although that one I had them beating, but they'll probably lose them.
They lost their tackle.
This should be the week that the Redskins try and trade Trent Williams. I know they supposedly have been against that. Look at the teams that want them, a team like the 49ers, and deal them.
I just don't understand the Redskins' end game with Trent Williams. He seems
at
this
point, they just want to win.
Through 2 weeks, he seems pretty resolute that he's not going to play for the franchise.
But did you see how much money he owes?
I did not.
He owes like $1.9 million.
Who?
Trent.
Oh, the fines.
All the fines.
Oh. Well, they'll waive that as soon as he comes in agreement.
What if he doesn't? Doesn't he have to pay?
No, because it's not like a court of law. He just can never play in the NFL again. or he can't play for them.
Yeah, you just say I was retired.
But if he goes,
your money, you paid for it.
And, of course, he's missing out on, you know, $600,000 a week, whatever it is.
All right, let's go to Marvin in Landover. See if the phones are working this morning. Marvin, what's up, buddy?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, gentlemen.
Yep. Yeah, what's up?
Yeah, I'm under the weather. But that has nothing to do with the Redskins. But, yeah, maybe it has everything to do with the Redskins. Hey, look, I honestly watched the offensive line and the defensive line yesterday exclusively. I was just like, well, that's where it's all going to be played down. The Redskins' defensive line is going against – well, just let's synopsize the first 2 weeks. They went against the two best offensive lines in the league.
Yeah.
And what happens is if you go against the very best and you don't – and they can take advantage of that, the Redskins' other parts of the team is exposed. And that's exactly what happened. The Redskins counted on their defensive line as being the bell cow, and they were basically manhandled by both these other two teams. And that's basically where they're at.
Agreed.
Yesterday's game, I'm just disgusted by the penalties. I can't understand how the hell that Scherf wants a big contract. Hold. Mm-hmm. Morgan Moses wants to get beat off the edge three times. He wants to hold. I don't understand exactly what they're doing. Are they playing fast enough? Are these guys getting good enough looks in practice? I don't know, but that looks disgusting. You talked about Case Keenum real fast. I just want to talk. Case Keenum is a professional quarterback. And what I mean by professional is he's just a guy who knows how to play football. He's not a great guy. He's not a bad guy. But what he is, he does understand how to play the position. And in Jay's offense, which is really good, I mean, let's keep it at 100. His offense is effective if it's run right. He can operate in it. I think that's the best thing about him. And I like Case Keenum. I like picking him up basically for nothing, you know?
Marvin, I'm with you 100%.
I will say this.
I'm with you 100%.
They did cut the penalties down by half. All right.
Progress.
And I will say this. The Montez Sweat roughing the passer was a complete joke. They're doing everything in their power. You can't touch a quarterback with your finger.
It was hardly excessive. He hit him late, but it was hardly excessive. But he pushed him.
He pushed him, but in real time, it's like bang, bang.
Yeah.
You know, Dak gets rid of the ball, and literally in 0.2 seconds, that's when he touches him. It's hard to tell a guy to have that in his mind and have that clock in your mind that you can't touch him if the ball's out of your hand. That was a joke.
There was also a play where I think it was Jimmy Moreland. They just pulled him down.
It was Moreland.
They just pulled him down, and they didn't call it. I think, did he score on that one? I can't remember what it was. It was a big
defensive
play.
Defensive hold right after the Montez Sweat?
That was after the Montez Sweat.
They gave him two penalties, and then the Cowboys scored.
No, another play. Another play. There was a running play where one of our guys was just completely mauled right when he was going to make a tackle.
By the way, Gruden alluded to it again. He alluded to the conspiracy.
Targeted.
Yes, he alluded to it without actually
but
saying
you know what
it.
They could be talking about at this point? Is just we just have a reputation for holdings.
Right.
So that it could be. Now at this point, they probably are looking at him going, hey, this offensive line holds all the time. So that could be it.
I'll play
at this
the victim,
point.
Man. I can do that. Oh, too. I'll play the victim all day long.
We are going to talk to Morgan Moses. He'll join us at 8:20 so we get his side of things. He, of course, made some news on the show last week with his Adrian Peterson comments. Adrian Peterson did find the end zone, but only ended up with 25 rushing yards. Chris Thompson will join us coming up at 9 o'clock. We talked to him about that fourth down play where they tried to go to Chris Thompson. That one just looked like a miss.
Yeah, it was a bad throw.
They were trying to get back in the game at that point. It is a Misery Monday. We're taking your calls. We'll open up the phone lines now at 800-636-1067. The Junkies coming right back on The Fan.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington on a Misery Monday. Driven by Priority Toyota Springfield, where you can have it all, including Priorities for Life, the most comprehensive lifetime vehicle coverage in the business. Shop PriorityToyotaSpringfield.com. Talking about the Redskins' latest loss, they drop the game 31-21 to the Cowboys. They allow over 400 yards of offense. Once again, they've given up 910 yards through 2 weeks. Here's what Jay Gruden said about the defense through the first two games.
Jay, there was a prevailing thought that your defense would be the strongest unit on your team. They've given up over 30 points in both of these games. How do you explain what hasn't worked for that unit?
I don't know yet. I got to go back and watch this film. There are no excuses to be had. We got to look at ourselves and we got to play better. You know, we're minus a couple pieces in a secondary that has an issue, but really we should be better than this. And that's on us, obviously, as coaches, and we got to get more out of them. We have a very talented group on defense. We're obviously not reaching them, but we got to play better, and we will play better. We have 14 games left and still a lot of football to play.
Hmm. Is that the first clip?
That's the first
clip. Let's play a couple of these. Play the second one, where then people ask about
do they need to make a change, you know, on the staff?
Which is a follow-up based on what he just said right there. Mm-hmm. It wasn't an endorsement as to what's going on the defensive side. We're not reaching them.
You mentioned not reaching them. Obviously, I was a big focal point this offseason was changing some of the coaches, changing that. Is there any sense that maybe more changes need to come?
No, I think it's after two games you're talking about playing two very good offensive football teams now, two of the best offensive lines in pro football. We just played back-to-back, and that's no excuse whatsoever, but I don't think we have to hit the panic button yet. We just got to continue to focus in on what we can do better to win, get Jonathan in here, get a couple of our corners back in here, and let's go back and strap it up against Chicago next week, see what happens.
He's trying to stay positive.
Oh, yeah, I know. Well, the drive that killed him was, you know, it's 14-7 at the half, and, you know, obviously Dallas had flipped the script on the momentum. And he said, you know, he said it at halftime, we got to get a stop here, you know, because Dallas can get the ball.
Right.
We got to get a stop and get the ball back and maybe tie the game. And Dallas goes, what do they go, 10 plays?
9 plays, 75 yards.
9 plays, 75 yards, score the touchdowns, and that's a 14-point game.
Well, they never made a stop after that. They never made a stop.
Correct.
Away.
Correct. So, you know, they were depleted in the secondary. They didn't have Allen. So the depth was an issue, but, you know, you got to find a way. Maybe attack Dak. That's the thing about Minuski. He's very conservative. He doesn't do too much defensively.
Mm-hmm. And when you're getting nothing from your regular packages,
yeah, I mean, they just kind of sit back. And when you're not getting a pass rush against that line, and, you know, when it's 5-on-4.
Mm-hmm. But man, if you bring the blitz and send extra guys, then it's just more wide open space for.
But you got to do something.
You got to do something,
though. I understand.
Make a quick decision.
Because Dak sat back there for 10 seconds and could pick whoever he wanted to throw the ball to. And usually those guys were wide
open.
He's
good, but he's not as good as we made him look. We made him look ridiculous, I think. But anyway, whatever.
Well, he's been pretty good through two games. He's actually better in week one.
No, he's good. I still think.
Believe it or not, a guy who had 4 incompletions was better the week before. And in his career, which has been short so far, he completely owns the Redskins.
Mm-hmm.
He just doesn't throw picks against the Redskins.
And this offense, it looks totally different with Kellen Moore. It just does.
Yeah, it does. It looks
they're
much
doing
more effective.
The RPO stuff, man, they get a lot off of that.
Yeah.
And, you know, he even had a 60-yard run or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. So Kellen Moore has been a huge addition for them, too.
Let's play one more clip. This is Jay again talking about the defense and why aren't the coaches able to reach the players.
Jay, going back to the not reaching him on defense, this staff has been in place for a couple of years. How is it possible that after a couple of years that they're not being reached? What is not happening there?
Well, I think we have some moving parts now, too. You know, we got Atlanta Collins. He's a veteran guy, but his first year. Sweat's his first year. Obviously, Cole Holcomb's his first year. Bostic's his first year. You know, we're playing Don Rogers Camardi at corner, and Jimmy Moreland's his first year, so it's not like we're the most experienced group. We feel like we're very talented, yes, but experienced, we're still fighting through some things. Very young defense. So there's a lot to look forward to, without a doubt, but we do have to play better, and we have to strap it up and get back to work.
Yeah, you have to look forward to Khalil Mack and company coming in on Monday night. Huh. And you have to beat them to avoid going in a 0-3 hole.
Where do you put the chances of beating the Bears? Jason puts it at 25%. JP puts it at 15%. I'm giving them, I think they're 40% chance, at least.
I think it's a coin flip.
Just Bears don't score points.
I don't believe in Trubisky, and I just... Case has played well, and hopefully he can continue.
So you're kind of with me.
Yeah, I think it's a coin flip,
40-50%.
Yeah,
I think
somewhere
right.
In that neighborhood.
I actually think you're right, even though it's a Monday night game.
And I'm sure I'm wrong. Yesterday on the pregame, we were taking fantasy advice. And this is just a quick aside. And somebody said, "Do I start Will Dissly from the Seahawks or some other tight end?" I said, "Will Dissly,
Vernon Davis, who ended up less than 30
I said,
yards."
Will Dissly slapped my knee. He's terrible. Don't start him. He scored 2 touchdowns. So my instincts are terrible. They're not clean whatsoever. So I'm probably way off. Way, way off on my assessment of the Redskins.
All right, let's bang out some of these calls. 800-636-1067. There's no question they've been manhandled these first 2 weeks. They can't make stops. They have too many penalties. There's sort of disappointments everywhere. They can't run the football, which is supposed to be sort of the heart and soul of their offense to keep them in these games. And yet, I still think we got a good shot next week.
If I'm wrong and the Bears committed a win and the Skins are 0-3 at that point, the Haskins watch is officially on.
Oh, yeah.
At that point. Then it's on.
Regardless of what Case does.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
I guess. I'm in no rush to see him at this point. What do
If they're 0-3 and just look lifeless, I'd be in a rush to see him. I just would, because you know that
you're just going
to
dig a bigger hole. He's going to be in save his job mode. He's not going to be in let's see the kid. He's going to be scrambling to eke out every W.
If he goes 0-3, he knows that his job's in peril.
He already knows it's in peril, but he's in no rush to play a kid that he didn't really
think gives him the best chance. Yeah. Part of it may be
forced on him.
It may be Snyder and Allen walking in if they're 0-3 and saying, look, this season is lost. 0-3, there's no hope of playoffs. We're going to play the kid.
Well, there was no hope of playoffs to start the season.
I agree
with
that.
Running for 47 yards as a team and you're throwing a rookie in there, it's just going to get worse.
I agree with you.
Then you could lose to the Dolphins.
It's a looming disaster. Yeah. Their margin for error was thin if everybody's playing, and they're playing without Reed, Geis, Trent Williams, and Jonathan Allen yesterday. You're just not going to win that
game. I got to be honest with you. When I saw the inactive list and I saw Reed again, I'm like.
And Dunbar. Man. Dunbar.
Then I saw Dunbar and Moreau. Now, Moreau's not great, but still, it's depth. I just thought, man, this is going to be a long day.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing about Reed is scary is, you know, they thought he was going to be ready for week one. Yeah. And he wasn't. Yeah. And they definitely thought he was going to be ready for week two.
Well, we thought he was
going to
be ready because they made the Holtz move.
Yeah.
Right? So we thought that they were making those moves so Reed
and
would be active.
You know, he's clearly not getting over it. Yeah. So, you know,
bad.
This could be the end.
Yeah.
I think one more, and he's just going to shut it down.
The concussion protocol, though, is wacky. I didn't see it. I just read about it. But the Eagles center went into concussion protocol because he went to the wrong bench. He was so banged up. Mm-hmm. He went to the wrong team's bench.
Mm-hmm.
15 minutes later, he was in the game.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe they gave him questions. Well, passed them.
Wentz went into concussion protocol. Well, he came back out, too.
Same thing happened with Sterling Shepard.
Yeah.
He got pummeled, and he was laying on the ground. He was back in the game. So I don't know. I don't know what the doctors see. I don't know what the protocol is. But we know Reed has a reputation of it.
He has a history.
Yeah. He's just got a history, and he's obviously having a hard time getting over it.
Yeah.
All right. Let's bang out these calls. Let's go to Chris in Haymarket. 800-636-1067 if you want to chime in. Chris, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junks.
What's up, guys? So going into the season, you know, I think everybody thought the defense was going to be the catalyst of this team, and they stink. We got Landon Collins, you got Josh Norman, we have fast inside linebackers, you know, Jonathan Allen, he's out, whatever. But we've spent multiple first-round picks on building the defense, and they're horrible. They can't stop anything. They're 10, 11 play drives. I mean, it's ridiculous.
True.
And so I think the season's over. I think we're going to be a top five pick. I've already committed that we're just going to lose every single week, and it's just miserable.
Okay. I think we have a shot next week against the Bears, but maybe I'm stupid. Maybe
Josh
Norman, for punishment.
I would say in his first year, he was impactful for the Redskins. I looked up the numbers yesterday. He had 19 passes defensed his first year.
He was impactful his first year.
Since then, you know, two seasons plus, mm-hmm. he's had 19 passes defense. Like, the production has just come way down with Josh Norman.
Well, he was playing.
And you see it every week.
He was playing Cooper, and he was playing 13, 14 yards off Cooper.
Yeah. He needs to give them that space.
And then when he gets up close, he doesn't fight him. He just lets him run right by him.
But the touchdown to Smith, mm-hmm. we'd have to find out from Seehoff. I mean, if Nicholson sat on that route, that inside route, that flat one, instead of getting back,
yeah.
you know, that's not on
Norman.
I think
he bit on the play action. Like Norman,
how do you not?
Well, there was a guy coming
underneath.
You see
a guy in front of him, yeah, and he went for that guy.
But maybe he's not supposed to.
I know, but I don't even know how you play defense. Like, how's he supposed to know where it's going? He's making a call there, split second.
Well,
now,
I mean,
obviously,
if he's supposed to be the deepest guy that,
I guess,
back there.
I mean, obviously it looked like
on the side of not allowing the deep
I can't
ball.
Imagine they're going to, because they know Norman's not a speedster. I can't imagine they're going to let Norman run one-on-one in a post against Devin Smith.
I wouldn't think.
So if that's on Monte, then, you know, you can't blame Norman.
Yeah, I just don't
know.
Norman played great. I don't know how to coach defense. I have no idea.
I don't know
how Monte makes that call, that split-second call, because that looked like the guy underneath was running streaking wide open. I understand why he went there.
Hey, my flag football
You'd
team
rather
had
give
three,
that up.
Three yeah. pick sixes this weekend. Maybe I know how to coach defense.
Maybe you should send your resume in to the Redskins.
Three pick sixes.
Let's go to Mike in Crofton. Mike, what's up, buddy? You're on the Junks.
Hey, what's up, Junks, man?
What's up?
It's another Misery Monday, man. I don't know how much longer we're going to put up with this, man. I mean, Jay admitted it himself. They can't reach these players. And if a coach and if the coaches are not reaching these players, then it's time to change the coaching staff. Because the bottom line is all these players that we bring in, they were all superstars wherever they were. And I remember something that Brandon Lloyd, the wide receiver who used to play for us, said when he went to the when he went to the Chicago Bears, he made a comment about, man, when I played for the Redskins, it was nice. They didn't push him hard. He was able to do different things. It was kind of a laxed environment, laid back, more of a
player friendly environment. Though that was a totally different staff.
Exactly, I know. But he said it was like being back in college, which tells me when he played for Chicago, they pushed him. I think the Redskins are soft. I think their staff is soft, and the product shows us on the field what we're getting: soft players who can't cover, who can't cover, can't do what they're supposed to do. And it's unfortunate because, to be honest with you, this is not what the Redskin organization is about. This is not what this team was built on, man. People used to fear us. They used to fear when they came
in.
That was
the 80s. That was the 80s and early 90s.
I know, but maybe we need to take these guys back to old films and make them watch the Redskins.
No, it's a waste of time.
So they can understand what this team meant.
You think that watching Sammy Baugh and Joe Theismann from back in the day is going to inspire them to play better? I'm sorry, it's just not.
Yeah. Nate Burleson had a really good point yesterday on whatever pregame it was, I think CBS. He talked about the difference in the players today than, back in the 80s.
Right.
Because of social media. He says all these players are just very sensitive. He talked about Brown, and he talked about Beckham, and you can talk about there's certain guys on every roster that just kind of watch and read social media every week. And I think Josh Norman's one of those guys.
Oh, yeah, we actually have a clip from Josh Norman where he's blaming the media.
It's our fault.
That's the difference.
I want to hear this.
This is just a waste of time.
Please inject this into my veins 24/7. Right. And he's blaming the media.
Here's Josh Norman after the game.
But what I will not do, allow the media or whomever the case may be, steer my words and change them what they want it to be. It's never had been the case. Never had been the case. So from every that time comes up, I really wish that person would come and have a conversation with me about it. Because that's the reason why athletes, entertainers don't even want to f*** with you guys. Be 100 with you. It's no need. That's my brother. That's a kin. I understand where he's coming from. He's going to get his. And when his time comes, that's great. He's a great quarterback. All these guys that we play are. I just wish that media would respect that and understand. And don't try to twist people when they get their best opportunity and chance to get out there. It just really sucks when that happens, man. It really does. I mean, it's sad, but now you really got to watch the ones that are doing great jobs. You got to suffer to be because of the spoiled rotten apples that come from hell. It's unbearable, man. The good reporters that actually come in here and do a job they're supposed to do, hold a head high, and you respect them. But it's those sour apples, man, that make y'all job sucks.
Yeah, but that has nothing to do with the game.
I never understand what he's saying,
honestly. That has something to do with some dumb comment that he made that was, he says, and I believe him, was misconstrued as a shot against Dak. That had no impact on the game. Zero. Why are we wasting our time with it?
I never understand what Josh Norman says anyway.
I didn't understand one word he said.
Almost every one of his clips, we played a different clip.
But he's not blaming the media for losing the game. He's blaming the media for misconstruing some comments about Dak.
But he's saying that
Who cares?
He's saying that the media is trying to start some infighting.
Okay, some do.
Who cares? You're right, but he shouldn't even be paying attention to that.
Yeah.
But he jumped over a ball in the offseason, guys. All's well with Josh Norman.
That'll be the best move he's made all year.
Yeah. All right, phone number is 800-636-1067. It is a misery Monday as the Redskins fall to 0-2 to start the season here on the Junkies.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington on a Misery Monday, driven by Priority Toyota Springfield, where you can have it all, including Priorities for Life, the most comprehensive lifetime vehicle coverage in the biz. Shop Priority Toyota Springfield.
Our theme today is Rick Ocasek and the Cards, and Eddie Money both passed away over the weekend.
Yeah, I think Eddie Money passed on Friday, a little bit after we were done the show, and then Rick Ocasek, like yesterday at some point, from the Cars. I mean,
can't believe it.
Just found dead by his ex-wife in his townhouse.
Right in the bed? Just sleep?
I believe so, yeah.
75.
75 years old.
Yep, happens.
Yeah, it happens to everybody.
Happens all the time.
Yep. I have a bunch of people here that want to talk about the Redskins. We'll be talking Skins throughout the show. Morgan Moses is going to join us at 8:20. We can talk about some of the offensive line issues.
Don't
him.
Leave him on hold very long. You might get triggered. Hold.
Chris Thompson at 9 o'clock.
Sorry.
Redskins running back. And our Redskins beat reporter, Craig Hoffman, is going to join us at 7:20. I know we're not going to have much time to get into a couple of other things.
Yeah.
Just want to bring them up now. Over the weekend, a lot of excitement here because Maryland was off to the great start.
Yep.
And just a disappointing loss in Philadelphia against Temple. Not completely unexpected they lost to them, but the way that it happened at the end, I didn't get to watch most of the game because I was coaching flag football.
I watched the entire game. Couldn't believe it.
I get in my car and they're back in it, and I'm there for the end where they have a first and goal at the 4 after the punt return.
Yep.
Can't punch it in.
Well, that and was then, after they had had, didn't they have given, first and goal right before that in the previous possession?
Okay, but I was
no, that
coaching.
Was the first possession. Then they got the ball back after the 7 yard. They got 7 yard punt.
Right.
Yeah, and then they're on the 10.
And I was giving props to Scotty Montgomery, the OC, last week. But man, the play calling was awful.
Well, They gave it to McFarland four straight times.
Yeah. And I don't know if that was because they didn't have any faith in Jackson, because Jackson was horrific.
Hmm. He missed some throws.
Oh, he was terrible all day. Or if they just said, "All right, this is our best player. If we can't get in for 4 shots, then you're better than us."
See, I was in the car at that point.
I think that's what it
was.
And
I was listening to Lamont Jordan, former Terp NFL player, former Divas coach too, right? Wasn't Lamont Jordan one of our coaches?
I don't think so.
No, you're wrong.
No,
you're thinking of Radcliffe Thomas.
Yeah. You know, it's
totally different era.
Thomas in that picture.
Anyway, he said, why don't they spread him out and go with one of the bigger backs? McFarland's great, but he's just not that big. And so they didn't punch it in there. But then they got the gift after a 7 yard punt.
Yeah. 7 yard punt.
So they had a second shot.
They had plenty
of
chances to win.
So they had basically 8 plays to punch it in, not just the red zone, because to me, the red zone starts at like the 20 or 25. They're inside the 10, inside the 4, inside the 1.
They
can't do it. So that's unfortunate.
They had so many opportunities. And let me say, the first half of that game was like watching a bad high school game.
It was a tough watch.
I mean, offensively, both teams.
Yeah.
It wasn't just Maryland. Temple didn't look great either. There were penalties everywhere, missed kicks. I mean, it was just a bad football game, and they had opportunities. But
I was just checking my phone, and I think it was a 7-2 at the half. It was like
7-2.
Yeah. 7-2 after all those points. They had
such an under.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
I just hope that fans still show up for the Penn State game in a couple weeks.
Oh, they'll be there.
Because they ordered the extra seats and everything. There was a lot of excitement after they scored all those points. Clearly, they had a dud there against Temple where they hoped to go into this game 3-0 with a bunch of momentum. But this town is so disappointing. I mean, as you should have seen my timeline, I also was traveling. So I could only watch the game in bits and pieces on my phone. I was actually in a meeting with a coach, and I was getting live track. I was interrupting my meeting because I was looking for they were at the goal line trying to see if they were going to score. And yet my timeline right after that, just everyone giving up on the Terps, everyone trashing them, and everyone's doing the same thing with the Skins, too. That's why this fan base kind of sucks. I mean, there's a diehard group, but the vast majority just bail after two games.
It's because of the years and years of disappointment.
It's unbelievable.
So with the Redskins, it's that same old Skins, and it's feeling like that.
But did anybody, but the Redskins, did anybody think they were going to win either of these first two games? Everyone had them losing.
But people are always optimistic and hopeful.
No, only the most diehard.
I don't remember anyone calling in saying we're going to beat the Eagles, we're going to beat the Cowboys. We were going to lose. I understand it's the way we lost. We didn't make a stop. But, I mean, we play some inferior teams here in the next couple weeks.
Very small percentage thought they would win.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's okay.
But again,
now, if they lose the Bears and they don't make a stop and there's only one punt, okay, then I think it's a little bit more justified. But we got dominated by two really good teams, and the Terps, the first two wins, obviously they aren't that good.
Now we know how good Syracuse is.
Okay, but right. Syracuse at the time was ranked 21, okay, I believe.
They were overhyped.
And Maryland had plenty of chances to win, just didn't close it out. But everyone's just bailing, just left and right.
I don't know if they're bailing. They're just calling
my,
it like they see it.
Seeing my timeline.
They're just saying, hey, the Terps were a little counterfeit.
Yeah, well.
That's probably accurate.
They proved that.
I didn't see a little counterfeit. I saw everybody say it. They're awful, they're terrible, and, you know.
Well, in don't that particular
buy
in, game.
Don't buy into the fact that it's Temple's Temple. Temple's defense was really good.
And
they got
never
athletes.
Never forget that Twitter is a cesspool.
Yes.
That's what you it always is. Have to remember.
It is.
Okay, we still like it. We like to get attention dollars on it.
They're full of monsters.
It's filled with trolls and terrible people.
And let me just say this regarding the Skins. You can mock me, but I could see them being 2-2 in 2 weeks. Even with this. If Jonathan Allen can make a difference, if Quentin Dunbar can come back and help, you know, just force a couple more punts, offense continues to play reasonably well.
You can also
they
see
could beat
0-4,
the Bears.
Right?
Sure. Yeah. They could beat the Bears. They could beat the Giants. But I think it's reasonable. I think it would be unreasonable to expect them to be 2-0 mm-hmm. at this point. But I do think it's reasonable to suggest they could beat the Bears and they could beat the Giants.
Okay.
Not saying they will,
maybe.
But I'm saying it's reasonable to think they have a chance in those games.
But it's not necessarily how they lost, it's how they lost.
I understand. They're just getting the Lions getting mauled.
They're supposed to be able to run the football and play good defense. Just want to throw in a couple other things. Your daughter's now going to Virginia Tech.
Mm-hmm.
They did win. But shouldn't they beat Furman by more than a touchdown?
Yeah,
well, they were trailing at the half.
It was 14-3 at the half.
Virginia Tech?
I couldn't.
Yep.
Fuente was getting booed so loudly by everybody at Lane Stadium on the way into the locker room, as he should have. If you're trailing Furman.
There could be a change after this
year. If you trail
year.
Furman at any point, especially 14-3 at halftime, you should get booed.
I don't know anything about Furman, but I know, generally speaking, Virginia Tech should blast them.
Yeah, they should pwn them. And you know what? Georgia Tech, you should be ashamed, too, for losing to the Citadel.
You should.
I'm sorry. Citadel,
but again,
nice story.
They have a little bit of an excuse because they've got a whole different coaching staff. They're flipping systems.
That's fine.
But you're right. Georgia Tech should not lose to
the
Citadel.
They should never lose to a team like the Citadel.
I agree.
It should never, ever happen.
You know, props
but the
to
ACC
you,
is bad.
Yeah,
props
they
to UVA,
are bad.
They may run the table in the ACC. They don't play Clemson.
Well, they don't play Clemson.
They're up to 3-0
start.
They
are very good, but Florida State got screwed at the end of that game, if you watch the end of that game. They get a first down on about the 7-yard line. There's 6 seconds left. The clock should stop. They should be able to reset and then spike it and then have one more play to try and tie it.
Well, they still had time to spike it.
They did, but they weren't prepared for that.
They weren't, but still, you got to think on your feet sometimes.
If there's 6 seconds, at least you have a shot at clocking it.
Right.
Once it's 4-3, then you start panicking. You got to run a play, and then they had no shot. But that was a crazy finish, too.
But so just wanted to bring up a little college football locally.
No, so, I'm sorry. Again, it's Georgia Tech, I got knocked out of my ACC version
of Survivor Pool. 13 out of 15 teams
Basically, everybody got knocked out.
Yeah.
And is this right? I didn't know this.
11 out of 15 lost.
Is this right that in spring practice, somebody told me this, that Georgia Tech, maybe with the new coaching staff, and they scrapped the whole option thing?
Yes.
That they lined up for their first play in like spring practice. And did like an option thing to kind of mock it. Mm-hmm. And then they were like, no, we're not an option team anymore. And Citadel ran an option on them and beat them.
Oh, yeah.
The Citadel.
That's what they were running. Exactly.
It's hard to prepare for. And apparently they weren't prepared for it.
All right. A bunch of people want to weigh in on the Redskins' latest loss. They start off the season 0-2, fall yesterday, 31-21. It was kind of similar to the first game in that they had an early lead. If they played a 20-minute game, they're looking good, but it's a 60-minute game. And in the end, the Cowboys proved to be too much. Couldn't even force one punt on the last 5 drives for the Cowboys, where they scored 4 touchdowns and a field goal. Give us your take. 800-636-1067. We'll field your calls next here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.